Our sermon this morning comes from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 16. I've entitled it, God Knows You and Loves You. So I've chosen this because this is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and I'll be addressing what God says about abortion, not my opinion or any other man's opinion. It's important we hear what God says about abortion. But first, before we get into it, this can be a very sensitive subject. We need to be aware of that. And so I want to say to anyone who has experienced an abortion, and usually there's someone in the church that has. It's unusual to find a church that doesn't have someone who's experienced an abortion sometime. And I want you to know that the forgiving mercy of Christ's blood applies to you too. That there's forgiveness for you. And so that's an important thing for you to know. And it's been my experience that not only the women, but also the men who are associated with the women, who have repented and are grieving about an abortion, often continue to carry guilt and shame. And they call this post-abortion counseling that's needed very often. And so if you're one of those people, you know, very often you keep that inside. But in the church, we want to hear about it. We want to hear if you're in pain. We want to hear about guilt and shame. We want to pull alongside you because you come under that mercy of God, the blood of Christ, and the forgiveness that He offers. And so if you have been trying to shake this guilt and shame and you've not been successful, then I want to appeal to you that you go to some resources. One is CCEF.org, which is the Christian Counseling and Education Foundation. CCEF.org, and there you'll find books and articles about healing after an abortion. And if you continue to struggle, then I want to let you know that Linda Neese is here as part of Heartsong Counseling, and that she can direct you to other good sources and things that are out there and provide counseling if you so desire. Be totally confidential, but these things, these resources, these opportunities to get help are there. So it's important that you get the help that you need because Christ loves you, and nobody in here is free from sin. 1973, the Supreme Court upheld Roe versus Wade by a 7-2 vote, which made it legal for pregnant women to have an abortion. And as Rebecca has already told us, since 1973, over 60 million abortions have taken place in the United States. That's a huge, huge number. 60 million. Let that sink in. 60 million babies have been aborted. And so, you know, often you hear in the news right now that they have these daily counts of the people who have died from COVID, right? So in 2020, last year, there were 385,000 people who died from COVID. And just think of all the furor and the way people are appalled at that. Well, in 2018, the last year that they actually have finished recording the number of abortions that have taken place in any particular year, there were 619,000 plus. 619,000 abortions took place. 385,000 people died from COVID. Shouldn't it be more disturbing to us that far more babies are aborted every year? Every year. And actually it's down at a pretty low rate compared to where we were historically. It's come down from like 1 million abortions per year. And now we're sort of at the low point of over 600,000 every year. That should disturb us. Now there's no way to sugarcoat it. If there was, I'd find it. There's no way to sugarcoat it, but abortion is murder. Why do I say it's murder? Because God says it's murder. That's not me saying that, that's him. I'm reflecting what he tells us. And of course the sixth commandment says, you shall not murder. Because murder is when there is a premeditated, deliberate action to take another one's life, another human life. That's very sobering. And that's why we have to be sensitive about people who've been through abortions and to see that there's healing opportunities for them as they turn to Christ. Now the church is responsible in God's eyes. He's set it up this way. The church is responsible to influence the culture in which we live. God wants babies to live. They're a gift from Him. Look at Psalm 127. Babies are a gift. And so we want to thank Rebecca and all those who are working at CareNet, which is a wonderful pregnancy center, and they need money and prayers. They need volunteers. It's a delight to already, as a church, support them financially, but they continue to need those prayers that she's already asked for these this morning. And as we heard Becky Sheets also talking about that. So in Psalm 139, David writes and reflects on how God knows us and loves us. It's amazing what he says in these verses. And that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He didn't make any mistakes. You're not an accident. He formed us in our mother's wombs. And so we're going to see how much he knows us in Psalm 139. So if you would please turn with me, I'm going to read verses 1 through 16. Let these things sort of drink in. If you have your Bible, then please open it to Psalm 139. We're going to go over some details in this in just a minute after we've had a chance to read it first. It's okay to pull out your phone and look it up on your phone if you want. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for this word that you've given us this morning, to hear your thoughts, to see your instructions, to realize this wonderful way in which you know us, which is complete and absolute. There's nothing hidden from you. And so we thank you, Lord, that we are able to once again commit our hearts and our lives into your hands afresh, which we do, Lord, because we have tasted and we see that you're good. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So our first sermon point is that we're all precious to God. We're all precious to God. God knows you and he loves you. Let's look now at Psalm 139 and go down through some of these verses and see what is being said here. God has searched you and knows you completely. How does that feel? God searched you. He's looked inward. There's nothing hidden right there, right? So God knows all your sin as well as all the wonderful things you've done. There's nothing at all that he hasn't searched. God knows you when you sit down and when you rise. Verse 2, you cannot hide from God. Even if you think you're hiding, you're just playing like an ostrich. He sees you. God knows your thoughts from afar, verse 2. So that means that God always knows what you're thinking. Kind of scary. He knows what you're thinking, not what you're saying with your lips. He knows that too, but even what you're thinking, that's how well He knows you. God knows all your ways, verse 3. So that means He knows everything that you do, all your actions that you take, good and bad. God knows all that you are going to say before you say it. Amazing. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. That's how well He knows you and loves you. No matter how stupid sometimes the things are that we say. And God knows that you're going to, what you're saying before Him. God knows you in the dark as well as He knows you in the light. Verse 11. God created your inmost being and formed you in your mother's womb. Verse 13. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Verse 14. God loves you and He delights in you. God knew how long you would live before you were born. Verse 16. God knows the exact day that you're going to die. How about that? He knows exactly when you're going to die. And there's nothing that can take place to alter that. He knows when He's going to send Jesus back. He knew when He was going to send Jesus the first time. There's nothing that that can prevent these things from taking place. So we, if we're wise, we'll entrust our lives to the Lord. And trust Him for all that's good. So God knows and loves everything about you. He sent His Son to die in your place. And so no defenseless baby who's fearfully and wonderfully made should ever have its life taken away. Because God has formed that baby. Did you know that there are an abundance of couples who want to adopt babies? There are far more couples out there that are ready and able to adopt babies than there are babies that are available. And who knows what a child is going to be like who's being considered for abortion. For example, do you know the story of Tim Tebow? His mother was struggling with a coma during her pregnancy, and her doctor advised her to abort Tim, and she refused. Now, Tim Tebow, for those that don't know, was a former University of Florida quarterback that led them to the national championship. Very strong Christian throughout. And they also won the Heisman Trophy for being the best football player in college in the entire nation. And so now he's alive because his mother refused to go through with an abortion. And he's a wonderful Christian man with a bold witness, and you probably have seen him on TV as he talks about Christ and the work of Christ in him. He also married Miss World from South Africa recently, who's also a Christian. Sermon outline point number 2. What can the church do to help pregnant women and their unborn babies? So in the late 1980s, Diane and I were living in Charlottesville. It's before I'd even gone to seminary. And we were active in the Charlottesville Pregnancy Center. I was on the board of directors, and pregnancy centers were kind of new at that point. They were sprouting up, but this was something new in Charlottesville, and Diane was one of the counselors. So we got to learn a lot about pregnancy centers and about the people who come there for help. And so we also got a chance to see a lot of the confusion that's going on in the hearts and minds of some of the women and some of the men that come with them. So when, as an example, a woman would be there being counseled and being talked to about the possibility of abortion, one thing that Diane was taught to do was to tell them, like Rebecca said earlier, there's three options, right? Keep it, put it up for adoption, or else have the abortion. But one of the things they would tell the woman that was in there, the pregnant woman, was that she had an opportunity to give the baby away for adoption. Well, some of the women were horrified at the idea of giving away their babies. This is how they'd respond. I could never give my baby away. And yet, this is where the confusion lies. This is where it's irrational how they're thinking in many ways, because this is the same woman that's considering putting her baby to death. It's irrational. And so these women needed to hear the gospel. They needed to hear God's truth from those who are compassionate and loving, not those who are harsh and full of condemnation. And it's so easy to get into the judgment side of things and tell them how horrible they've been and what a stupid thing they've done to get to where they are. But we have to be just the opposite. We have to be compassionate and loving and caring. After I became a pastor, we were pastoring a church in Fort Worth, Texas for a while. So in 2002, there was a pregnancy center there that we were supporting and connected with. And so we offered to purchase, there was a lot of money in that church, but we offered to purchase an ultrasound machine. And that was one of the first ones. They were talking about it, but not many of the pregnancy centers had an ultrasound. Now they're common. CareNet has them, you know, everybody has them, because they're so wonderful, and they really help the women to see that they really do have a baby there in their womb. And so that's one of the beautiful things about an ultrasound. You can see that it's actually a human baby, because what happens is the people who are pro-abortion, they want to dehumanize the language about the baby that's being carried in the womb. And so they'll use a word like fetus. It's a fetus. They don't use the word baby. It's a fetus. And so it's not a human baby to them, and they're actively trying to foist that lie onto the women who find themselves in this situation. And so once they had that bubble burst in terms of it, no, it's not just a fetus. It's a human baby formed by God in your womb. It's precious in God's eyes, and He wants that baby to come to birth. So what happened when the women saw that is that many began to change their minds. And they began to see the number of women choosing abortion going down. It's far lower now than it used to be because of that. But the church was what allowed that to happen at that time. And so pregnancy centers like CareNet become beacons of light for the gospel in communities across the country. As Jesus said, that we're supposed to be a light. It's like on the side of a hill that's shining out across that whole region. And so we're not to keep our light underneath a bushel basket, but we're to let that light, the light of the gospel, shine. And so, as we've heard, 109 professions of faith. There's many, many women that have heard the gospel. Maybe they're going to not, maybe they're not converted yet, but they will in time to come. So these are opportunities for the church to really help out, because these are the frontline battle stations. And so this is why those who are on the front line need to be supported with prayer and funds and time, volunteers. You're making a huge difference when you support the CareNet Pregnancy Center. And you're going to see people coming to Christ. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. You can make a huge difference when you do that. And we see Jesus' heart in Psalm 82, verses 3 and 4. It says, defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. Now listen closely to this. Rescue the weak and needy. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. So Jesus came to rescue the weak and the needy. And so he's out there leading us into the communities in which we're in. You see, there's no human being that's more vulnerable or more weak and needy than a child in his mother's womb. And so the church then is to step up and defend the cause of those that cannot defend themselves, the unborn babies who are in danger. So Jesus not only gives us life, but he also provides us with the words of life. He's the living word. He's the living gospel. And he's called us to be his ambassadors. There's a message that needs to go out. An ambassador is someone who says exactly what the powers in charge call them to say. You're not allowed to say anything else, or else you're going to be a lousy ambassador. So if I'm an ambassador to England from the United States, then I have to give the United States exact message to England, or else I'm not going to do my job. And so the same is true here. We are to give Christ's message to the world. We are the ambassadors that speak the words of life to a dark and fallen world. So let me give you an example of this. Some of you have heard this probably before, but it's worth repeating, that Norma McCorvey was the woman who was the plaintiff in Roe versus Wade in 1973. She was a very hard-hearted woman. She would frequent many of the bars and all in Dallas, Texas. We heard a lot about it because I was in Fort Worth. And so she could out-cuss a lot of the men in those bars. And she was just a kind of a hard woman. And she ran an abortion clinic. That's how she made her living. And then Operation Rescue moved in next door, which was a pregnancy center. And so Flip Benham, who is the one who was in charge of that pregnancy center, made it a point to go over and meet her and begin to talk to her and care about her. And so through a growing relationship with Flip Benham, she heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then one of the volunteers there had a daughter. Her name was Emily Mackey. And at 7 years old, she began to outwardly love and care and meet with Norma. And she continued to ask her out to church over and over and over until finally Norma gave in and said, okay, I'll go. And by God's grace, the very first time that she attended church, she actually received Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. What an amazing story. And so from that point on, she became an activist for anti-abortion causes. If you want to know more about that, you can read the details of Norma's story in a book called One by Love. One by Love. Now, she died in 2017, but anyway, she had made a lot of difference for anti-abortion activism. Now, we need to be careful as we think about the abortion and the people that are involved with it, those who are pro-abortion, that they are not our enemies. It's easy to make them our enemies. Flip Benham could have made Norma his enemy, but he did not do that. What did he do? He built bridges. This woman didn't know Christ. She didn't believe the Word of God. So her need was to know Jesus Christ. And then everything changed once that happened. And so that's how we're to be thinking about this. That we are in the business of professing the kingdom of God to people like Jesus was. We are those who are to profess Jesus as the King of the kingdom. And Jesus himself summed it up with these words in terms of how we're to treat these people when he was hanging on the cross and they were actually killing him. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And so this is what's going on with the world. Those that don't know Christ, they're doing these things, but they're doing them out of ignorance. They are doing these things because they think it's the right thing to do, but that's the human mind and not the godly mind. Oh, I've got this problem. I've got a pregnant woman I'm talking to here. Well, let's solve the problem by killing the baby. Well, that's not solving the problem the way God wants it solved. And if she gets a chance to hear the truth, then hopefully she'll change her mind. And so not only will the baby be born, but the mother, and hopefully the man that's associated with this situation will also become born again. So there'll be spiritual life along with physical life that's taking place. You know, there's a lot more Normas out there. They're scattered all over Northern Virginia and around here. Many that need to know the love of Christ and to hear the gospel. And there's a harvest that's plentiful out there. So it's not just ladies that are pregnant. It's far greater than that. And so God wants us to follow Jesus out into the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, Jesus says. So pray in your heart and ask the Lord to give you grace and boldness, an opportunity to be about your master's business, the advancement of the kingdom of God, profession of the words of Christ. We need to be faithful in the least. And so as we do these things, we also will see babies being rescued. And hopefully, as we pray, eventually we'll see Roe versus Wade overturned. And so with all of this, we need to also remember first that God loves you, He knows you, and He has a plan for you. He saved you. You are precious in His sight. There's nothing that He would keep back from you in terms of what you need. Sometimes it feels like it gets delayed. But He wants us to go out there and find the lost, the poor and the needy, the oppressed and the fatherless and the weak, the defenseless. But He wants us to go out with joy, not being arm-twisted, not being forced to go out. Because if that's how you feel, then I would encourage you to get before the Lord and ask Him to open your heart to all the amazing gifts that He's given you. As we started the service, as we think about, we've been made a new creation in Christ. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Word of God. We've been given the body of Christ, and we're part of that. There's all these amazing things that God has done for us. And so because He's given us so much by grace, then how can we not want to go out? So, Lord, please help me to go out and tell others about this amazing work that You've done in me. Help me not to be self-protective. Help me to feel like I make a difference when I'm bold Help me not to hold back. Doesn't matter if you're someone who's an extrovert or an introvert. I know some introverts are far bolder than most extroverts I know. So let's pray that Crossroads might see many sinners saved. And the Lord bless CareNet with many compassionate and skilled workers, men and women. Let's pray that those who can speak Spanish would come and serve, minister to the pregnant men and women who are looking for answers, who are confused and scared. Jesus loves you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you that we are part of your body, the body of Jesus Christ. We thank you that as a church, that Crossroads has many gifts and talents. Some you're calling to front line ministry. Help us to take our battle stations. Help us to be ready to confess that Jesus is Lord and to be able to give accurate understanding of what it means to hear the gospel and what the gospel is. Lord, help us to be about our Master's business. Help us to serve you well. Please, Lord, would you pour out your grace upon us? And would you help us to be excited about who we are in Christ? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.